okay, well, if I can't be a part of that group, what should I do? And it was like, oh, create your own.
Yeah.
Go do the things that you want to be a part of and don't wait for someone to invite you. Welcome to the Earn Your Happy podcast. I'm Lori Harder, founder of The Bliss Project, three-time fitness world champion, fitness expert, and cover model turned self-love junkie, lifestyle entrepreneur, and author. Each week, I'll bring you a guest or a thought that will help you bust through your fears, connect to your soul, and get focused and clear so you can elevate your life, business, and relationships. We don't wait until we're ready for someone to tell us we're good enough. We take what we want and we anoint ourselves. Get ready to earn, own, and unapologetically rock your happiness every single day. Are you with me? Here we go. Welcome back to the show. It's time for another quickie because there is always time to fit in inspiration. And I am so lucky today. You guys, I have a special guest on my quickie. And that is Lindsay Schwartz, because you know what? I just cannot get enough of her. And I know that you guys can't either.
I just keep hanging around.
I like it. Would you please hang around more often?
Yeah.
I kind of want you to move here.
I know.
No, it's a real thing.
The more
time I'm slowly convincing you.
I think you are. I'm very susceptible to other people's influences in my life.
You know what? If it's not about me, it's about the salad place up the street called Sweet Green.
You had to go there, didn't you?
Can you talk about it?
I plan my travel around making sure I get here in time for dinner, just so I know I can have that salad. You know, when you find like a great restaurant in a city you don't live, like you fantasize about it. I shouldn't say you. I fantasize about it.
No, when I'm gone, when we are traveling, I talk to Chris. I'm like, I just need to get back to my routine and back to Sweet Green. Like Sweet Green is literally the routine. So I'm like, I just need to get back to Sweet Green. I'm going to feel so much better when I'm back.
Yeah.
That's like the story of my life.
I think they should sponsor this podcast. So if anyone's listening,
why didn't I think of that?
Hit us up.
That'd be freaking awesome. We're going to send this to Sweet Green so that we can get unlimited salads.
Oh my gosh. That would be the pinnacle of life.
Here's the problem though. At the end, they always ask you if you want your salad tossed. They literally say that verbatim. And every time I just want to giggle like
you're
a schoolgirl
like,
and
no
be
one,
like,
no one else is, no one, else thinks
no
this
one
is funny.
Talks to me like this. I thoroughly enjoy it. So
at least you asked permission.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you for asking. I've been waiting all day to be asked that. All right. So what are we talking about today? Because I'm thrown off by tossed salads.
I know. We went in a very different direction than we had planned. But we were talking about having patience.
Yes.
In your journey to really create your purpose, to step into your bigger ideas, your bigger dreams. But then also, I think you had a great line about how to make yourself desirable. That could be taken a lot of different ways.
Making yourself undeniable.
Oh, I added desirable.
I think that you took that into the version that you needed. That's what we do for ourselves.
Yeah.
And you're like, I just want to make myself desirable.
Immediately just want to go into a sexy voice.
In the silky dress type of way. I don't know what that means, but you know.
I'm getting a visual.
So making yourself undeniable while also for your vision. While also simultaneously being patient. And this kind of goes, so this is interesting because I just, you know, was talking about, did a podcast. I think I did a post on like not waiting to be chosen and choosing yourself.
I love that
And
one.
These work together, don't you think? Like this is very much like, I think we get really frustrated when we're like, why aren't people seeing me? Why am I not? I know for me, it was, why am I not getting chosen for this magazine cover? It's been 3 years. Why am I not getting chosen to speak on these different stages? Why is this woman not paying attention to the fact that I'm doing all these things? Mm-hmm. Why is she not inviting me on a podcast or into her stuff or whatever that looks like? So I want to talk about all of those different reasons as well. But first, I just want to say, you got announced as a speaker at the Bliss Project, and I'm so excited. So you guys, if you're as obsessed with her as I am, you get to see her live at the Bliss Project.
I'm so excited.
What are you most excited about? Just make me feel great right now.
Well, we could just turn the episode into this. So this will actually be my fifth time at Bliss.
That's insane.
I told you how I found my notebook because I am one of those nerdy people who keeps my notebooks from, especially the really good events. I don't keep them all. But this event for me has literally been a timestamp at all the major intervals in my own journey that have led to me even being in a position to add value to you and what you're doing to be asked to speak, which is we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget the third time I was there, second or third time, one of those, I had just committed to writing my book and I was scared shitless. Like I didn't want anyone to know. I don't know why I thought that I had any business writing a book. And so that event to me, if you've never been to the Bliss Project, it is a place where you can share your scariest, craziest dreams and you're going to be surrounded by women who are going to speak life into those. And it was the first time I ever said out loud that I had committed to writing this book. And I still had women throughout the year checking back in on me and asking me how it was going. And that, whether those women knew it or not, was always right when I needed to hear it.
Wow.
So it's just such a special place to me. So I'm so excited. I always tell you, I'll be there. I'll just take out the trash if I just get to be in the room. But I mean,
hey, I know you just got off stage, Lindsay, from speaking in the most amazing way, but I have this trash bag I need taken out.
Exactly. I'm available.
But I do know you do that. And I would do it too. I'm literally like when I go to events, especially like my girlfriend's events, I'm like, what do you need?
Yep.
I will try to do your makeup. No promises. Wait, I used to love doing hair and makeup.
I know you're really good at it.
I don't know if I'd say that, but thank you so much for that. I've got one look for everyone and that's it. Like when people are like, I want to try a little of this color. I'm like, I don't know what to do with that color. I only know that these colors go together in this palette. So let's not mess around, you know?
This is what you're getting.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So back to this idea about being patient and also making yourself undeniable. What comes up for you? A time in your life when that has been something where you have been so frustrated, like where you realize that you're waiting to be chosen for something and that you have to actually just turn inward and be like, what do I need to do whether or not I get chosen or not to be seen or to do something? And what is that moment?
I go back to that journey of writing a book and I didn't actually do it to be noticed. I did it because I was in a season where I'd been building a business, a health and wellness business for 6 or 7 years. And I was so aware of the fact that I was operating at about 70% on a good day of my potential, knowing that it looked on the surface like some other people's 100. Mm-hmm. Like it looked, I was able to create results and get recognized and have all these like surface level things that felt good to my ego.
Yeah.
So it was really comfortable just to stay at operating at about 70%. But that other 30 was a zone where I would have had to get uncomfortable, where I would have had to do things that I didn't know if I had any business doing or didn't know immediately that I would be good at them.
Yeah.
And when I was approached about writing this book, it was the first time ever. There was literally something in my soul that was like, you keep asking for, you know, God, your higher power to show you your purpose, like to show you the way.
Yeah.
And you keep turning down the opportunities to step into that.
Had there been a couple others that you remember?
Oh yeah. I mean, I had podcast equipment for 5 years that never got used.
Girl, I so resonate with that.
Yeah. So when it was just, I think this perfect storm of I had gotten sick of my own bullshit.
Yeah. I love like, that storm.
Gotten to that point.
Every good story starts right there.
Starts right there. So like saying yes to that. And then actually, I mean, you know what it's like to write a book. I had to say yes again, minute by minute, day by day, and actually finish it. And then it opened up this portal that I didn't even know was there or that I was missing, where I stepped into actually challenging what I knew I was capable of and finding more than I even realized I had been suppressing all along by playing in that safe, like 70% of my potential zone.
So I have to rewind to have the listeners understand this. You weren't even going traditional publishing route. This was like you were going to self-publish your book. Like you were not chosen by oh, you're chosen to write this. Like it sounds like, oh, Cinderella's story. She was just like picked out of the crowd. Like, yeah.
Someone called and said, you should write a book and you should pay me $2,000 to be in my program for me to help you.
It's the best part of the story.
And something he said, and now this was not a random person. I actually very much trusted this person.
Yep.
Without her, I would not have a book. Like it changed my life. And it was having to go all in and actually commit financially to, you know, being a part of this program. But I had like a very small audience. I had none of the traditional things that people say that you should have in order to publish a book, get it out there, get it into, you know, into people's hands. So what's cool about the journey that I've been on over the last 3 to 4 years is I've done it all backward. I literally have proven to myself that you don't have to have it all together. You don't have to be ready to get started. And that has given me so much power to start and try new things that I wouldn't have otherwise.
So I love your story so much because it's anyone can go the same exact route you did with a book.
Yeah.
I literally will have people who have like a 200 person following. Like that's all that I see. And they're amazing people. I can tell by their pages. I can tell that they're brilliant. Like they put out incredible content, but they're like, hey, can you help me get a publisher to look at me? And I'm like, don't wait for a publisher to look at you, because I had so many publishers even look at my numbers of hundreds of like having 100,000 or more at the time. And they were like, no, we only take people with 1 million. So then it just like moved this finish line so far. I was like, great. I'll be there in 2035, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm not going to wait 20 more years to be chosen. Like, so even though I went the more traditional route, I got told that by, you know, 21 publishers I was turned down by. So
I didn't even know there were 21 publishers.
I didn't either. I was like, there were people I didn't even know who they were telling me that my book was basic. And I'm just like, you know what? You know what's basic? Me basically not knowing who you are right now. So me basically getting dissed right now by someone I don't know. Yeah, I didn't write that at all. But that was my fantasy. Like that was my fantasy email back to them. Instead, I was like, thank you so much for your feedback. felt really good for
I
me to like
so
express
good.
How, what I wanted to say on this podcast. So the thing is that anyone can go your route if they're willing to put in the work. And some of the key things you said was you paid money, which at the time kept you really accountable and you had this other person involved. So when I was writing my book too, it was like, I started writing the part of the story that most people don't know is I started writing the book long before I had the book deal. And I hired an editor, just a random freelance editor, to help me kind of learn how to write. And I didn't have a book deal. I was paying a lot of money to just send chapters to this person to be prepared potentially in the future. Because I was like, you know what? With or without a publisher, somehow this book is coming out. Mm-hmm. And what ended up happening is I essentially what felt so confident in this book that I had written that I went to the publisher and I was like, I have a book. It's amazing. This is what it's about. I wrote up the whole marketing plan. So that was, and what people don't know is like the whole, you're essentially doing everything yourself and you're writing up this plan that makes them convinced that it's going to be a good idea to put money in because they're going to make it back. You're showing them the way that they're going to make the money back. And so because I had this book that I thought was already done that I had written over the past, let me just tell you how long it took, 4 years. Oh my God. I don't know if I've shared this before. I think I have. When you came out with your book, I was probably 2 to 3 years into writing my book that didn't have a publisher yet. And it triggered me so hard in the best way.
Yeah.
But it triggered me so hard that I was like, wait a minute. If she can finish this book, because I was just like getting in my own way.
Yeah.
I was like, if she is out there and she just finished this book, there is no reason I cannot finish my book.
I remember sending you a copy and it was before we had like really, really connected.
Yeah.
And I felt I had all these thoughts about it, right? Like, I don't want her to think I'm sending her this because I want her to share it. In fact, I would prefer if people don't read it. That's totally fine. But I remember writing you a note inside and just saying, like, I need you to know how much watching you go first without being ready gave me permission to do the same. Like, I just want you to see what, I want you to physically have something in your hands where you get to see the impact that you're making, having no idea the journey that you were on with your own book. So
that's and I think cool. just the energy that you can't, it triggered me in the best way, but yeah. it definitely triggered me. And I remember reading the note and I was just like, wow, okay. So I'm giving other people permission because I was really stuck in this book. Yeah. I was really, really in my head about it. And I was like, okay, that's powerful. She's amazing. I'm so, it was a moment also of like being able to go like shift the energy and be super happy for you and also get inspired instead of like
yeah.
get angry. So yeah, it was a really beautiful just like moment for me of, mm-hmm. which is crazy. It was a big moment of like, are you kidding me? I have been writing this thing for how long? And she finished it. But you just said you had like massive accountability. So I had my editor, but there was no markers yeah. that we put like accountability towards. And that was one of the biggest things missing. So if you guys are listening, like the route that she took of paying and then having an accountability date is so, so powerful. But like you can hear that we both did things before there was even any promise of anything yeah. successful. And then I ended up getting a book deal later after a lot of work and a lot of no's. And I go back and I read the book that I had written and it was terrible because I had spent 4 years yeah. learning how to write. So I go to FedEx, I print it all out. I'm reading it in my car. I start bawling because there's not one good opening to a chapter. There's not, it's like so bad. I come home, I end up reading the whole thing and I throw it in the garbage. Mm. And I literally start from scratch.
Oh my gosh.
Even though I told them, don't worry. I'm like, they're like, how much time do you want? Do you need like a year? What do you want? Like 8 months? I was like, no, give me 3 months. And, and they're like, you're a new author, even though you think you have your book, we're going to give you, I think they gave me 6.
Yeah.
And thank God, because I got 2 extensions of like totaling like 16 days or something. So took me like 6 months and 16 days.
Yeah.
And I wrote most of it in the last 8 days, to be honest with you. I'm not
just like any
you.
Good term paper.
Yep. I wrote half the book in the last 8 days.
Wow. And you know, it's those moments, I think, like even what you started out saying about making putting yourself in a position to be undeniable.
Yes.
There was a lot of time before that where I would look around at what other people were achieving or opportunities they were getting. And if I'm honest, there were times when I would have that thought of like, why not me?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until what was amazing about the book writing experience is I actually, by the end, truly just was so freaking proud to finish it.
Yes.
I had no expectations. I remember I got some of the cool, I always say that I had some of the coolest blessings come on the other side of that experience that the old me would have like wished and hoped and prayed for. And it was cool to see that happen as a natural fallout of just getting uncomfortable and doing something to challenge myself and going after something that I didn't know if I had any business doing.
Yeah.
The results were sort of just like, oh, cool. That's cool that happened, yeah. but it actually didn't define me anymore. You know, yeah. speaking opportunities or just some of the things that happen on the other side, which is, I always used to say like, you guys, you don't even know if this book is any good. Like you just see that I have a book and now you think I'm important.
Yeah.
Do you want to read it first before you ask me to speak at your event?
Yeah.
Shouldn't you vet me a little more?
But that's just kind of the thing where if you, there are kind of like these laws that if I know you have written a book, I know the type of person that it takes to go through that process.
True.
So it doesn't mean like, just jump up on stage. But I mean, for some people, it may mean that,
yeah.
you know, that they're just like, hey, you've done this. I'm pretty sure that we feel good about what you're doing.
You must have something to say.
You must have something to say because you wrote a lot of pages about it. And you're like, well, we'll see. Hey guys, this is the perfect spot to take a break because I have to tell you some exciting news. Our famous Fast Foundations Mastermind is open again for enrollment. This is a mastermind that my husband, Chris Harder, and I put on for entry-level early stage entrepreneurs. And this is the only way to be able to work with Chris and I together in a room in person. I can promise you that this is literally one of the best masterminds out there for half the price. But I want you to listen in to some of these transformations that happen happen when you are in the room. And you guys know, if you listen to this podcast, that I always tell you, just show up for yourself and get your butt in the room. So listen into these.
My name is Kat Golden, and not only did Fast Foundations help me scale to a multiple six-figure income in under a year, I was able to establish myself as an authority. Thank you so much, Chris and Lori. Truly forever grateful.
My name is Alex Street, and Fast Foundations helped me build my first course and confidently now do what I'm made for.
Fast Foundations was the best thing I did in 2019 for my growth. I received all of the skills that I needed for marketing and PR and gained access to really high-level entrepreneurs and their insider secrets that I would not have been able to get outside of Fast Foundations.
My name is Joanna Vargas, and Fast Foundations helped me double my profit. I learned how to up-level my client experience, and I invest more to make more now.
It was truly a game changer for me.
I saw measurable results right away.
And to help get me through any challenge.
And it's priceless.
But also, it was a game changer in the people that I connected with.
Fast Foundations was awesome.
Okay, so here's the deal. All of those breakthroughs that you just heard, none of those people felt ready to be in that room. And I know you're sitting here thinking, I'm not even sure if I'm there yet. But let me tell you, if you make less than $499,000 a year, we want to lock arms with you to make your business explode and make you feel confident in all of the areas that you don't yet feel confident in. And I will tell you, as an entrepreneur, you never feel ready. You never, ever feel ready. It's all about taking that leap and showing up for yourself. So over the next 5.5 months, we want to lock arms with you, and spots are super limited. So go over to fastfoundations.com right now, because we want to work with you. We want you in this room. And as you can hear from the transformation, it is your turn now to have that same experience. So let's get back to the interview. I think that I really want to point out the frustration point of, I just so understand where people are, because sometimes I can still feel that way in different areas of my life where I'll go into new rooms now of new businesses, right? I'm in, mm-hmm. in like a totally new area. And I will tell you, I've been to some big events and things where I really want to be seen and I'm not, like, at all. And I have to get to a place where it's like, that's okay. Like, yeah. I see me, I can go and like meet. So it's kind of cool because nobody knows me and nor do they care. And it's like, I get to go and be the person who just like goes and meets all these people and gets to put myself out there again and be like, this is what it feels like to be a beginner and try to work your way into like amazing relationships and be undeniable and tell people what you're doing. And yeah, it's like you have to go and be, it's crazy to walk into a room of like 1,000 women who are doing big things, who all want to be seen, and not get in your head or get overwhelmed and be like, okay, you're going to set the intention of just meeting a couple really awesome girls and that's it. And it's like, I want to connect. So the intention is like, if you guys are out in the world and you're feeling like not seen, or you're going to the events and you're going to the parties, or you're trying to connect and you're trying to get your message out there, it's when I like let go of feeling the need to meet a certain person or the need to be in a certain group. When I completely let that go and said, you know, if it's not working, it might mean that this energy is not for me or not for me yet. And when I completely release either the expectation of wanting something or wanting to be in a certain group, that's when it's like I meet somebody who is so amazing. We start our own group. We start our own undeniable tribe, who now it's like, oh my God, I can't imagine if it would have been another way where I forced myself into a situation or to be seen by someone.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. And there have been so many times when I would go to an event and I would have this vision of like, I want to meet this person. Yes. And I've caught myself before like leaving frustrated because the thing I thought was meant to happen didn't. But I wonder if I missed someone maybe that I was supposed to meet.
Yes.
Because I was so tunnel visioned on how I wanted it to happen. Mm-hmm. And the same goes with like chasing your purpose. Like I had a health and wellness business in the past, and I had it that like I was going to reach XYZ certain success level in that. And it never freaking happened.
Yeah.
And now I look back and I'm so grateful, because had I achieved the success that in my mind I felt I was ready for, I would never have followed the path that I'm now on, which is so aligned. Mm. And opportunities are coming with ease. There's still work,
yeah,
but opportunity is coming with ease. And the way that this is all unfolding feels so much different from when I was trying to prove and strive and make it happen on my own. So yeah, I think it's important, like we were saying, like choose yourself, but not at the risk of forcing your way there. Yes. Like you can choose yourself and who you are and show up and do the things that are, that you know you're being called to do. But I feel like I had to learn along the way this practice of non-attachment.
Yeah.
Like following what felt really good and really exciting, like the book, with no expectation of what it would turn into. And it turned into more than I ever could have imagined.
That is, you completely nailed it. I think when we're saying undeniable, it's go back and focus on what you actually want this thing for. Like, oh, you want to be a part of that group? Really unravel, like get to the root of why. And I was like, well, I want to be a part of that group because I feel like they're having the elevated conversations and they're doing the cool stuff. And I feel like I would feel seen and I'd feel so connected to that group because they're all talking and saying the things that I want to say and be a part of, and they're doing the things that I want to be a part of. And it was like, okay, well, if I can't be a part of that group, what should I do? And it was like, oh, create your own.
Yeah.
Go do the things that you want to be a part of and don't wait for someone to invite you. Mm-hmm. Go connect with that girl that you're feeling, you know, drawn to and invite her to go do those things, or see if you can create something together that you're excited about. Go start having those conversations and finding them at people, you know, with other people who feel the exact same way, who don't feel connected yet. You know, what we were talking about before, these moments where we just have these wall kicking moments of like, I don't know what to do if it's not this. And for me, I was, I always think back, my biggest one that I can think about was waiting to be chosen for a fitness cover. And it was 3 solid years of the craziest attempts. And when I mean craziest attempts, it's like I did all the right things. I competed in all the competitions. And competing in competitions isn't just like, okay, I'll show up to this one competition. I was doing like 6 a year, and the prep for those is like 2 to 3 months. So I hardly had any off time. So I was in a constant state of prepping, like very high anxiety, very little food, did not treat my body very well. So I was so hangry 24/7. I was putting my relationship on the back burner for years. So this is 3 years of like really intense, like just training and trying to figure out like emails and connecting and just pitching articles and pitching yourself. Mm-hmm. And so I got to this place where I remember I was looking at my vision board and I was looking at all these covers of women who had like been on these covers that I wanted. And my bed was right behind me. And I just had this moment of like, if this doesn't happen, I don't know why I'm on the planet. Like, mm-hmm, I just felt like nothing meant anything. Cause I felt so invisible and like all of my hard work was for nothing. So I threw myself on the bed and I was literally beating the bed with my arms and legs, like face down and screaming. And then I got really tired of doing that. Like it lasted like maybe a minute and I was like, nobody's here. And once again, nobody's hearing you. Like I was exhausted, yeah, from, I was like, this is so stupid. And so then I got back up and I was just like, why are you doing this? Like, why do you want this cover so bad? What does it mean to you? I'd never stopped to ask myself, wow, that. I had never stopped to ask myself, what do you believe this cover is going to give you? What will you be when that happens? And my answer was, I'll be a leader. I'll be an inspiration. I'll be leading communities. And I was like, why the fuck am I not doing that yet?
Right.
And I said, I don't need a cover to do that. Mm. So I literally was just like, I let go. And I was like, if this never happens, I can still be a leader and I can still lead communities.
Wow.
So I got to work. Like I started getting women together and it started with 1 or 2, or then I got a community of like 20. And when I did that, doesn't mean 20 showed up every weekend. It meant 3 to 8 people showed up every weekend, but I had this rotating small community that started allowing me to be like a leader and started allowing me to build a bigger community. And from there, I self-published a cookbook, which I used as a huge thing when I finally went back another, it was, you know, probably like a year later, I just pitched the crap out of everything I had done. I was like, look at this community I built. I sent in all these pictures of us doing all of these epic things. We were doing charity work. I had built a cookbook. I'd done all these videos. And I just was like, they're a magazine. They want someone who's established and who has a community. It's a business. Why would they look at me if I'm only relying on them for their audience?
Right.
What is that? What service is that doing for them? Mm. I knew I had to become undeniable for them to say no.
Yeah.
I needed to build up a community. I needed to build up like so much buzz and interest around my life that it made sense for them to say yes, because it was complementing what they were doing. And we forget that.
Yeah.
We're like, why don't you see me? I'm doing all this stuff. I'm like, yeah, but is it complementing what she's already doing? Because she's probably exhausted and needs help getting her stuff out. So are you a great partner and fit for what she, he, or that company's already doing?
Yeah. And this actually goes full circle back to how we started. Because I know you and I both look at that when we're inviting speakers for mm-hmm. our events, or even when we're inviting people on our podcast. I get pitched for the podcast all the time. So how does that translate into the people that you choose to partner with or work with or feature at your events? Because I know it's like that for me.
1,000,000%. It's, you guys, marketing your event and your podcast is not easy. Like, you have to get your message out to more people. And the way that you're going to do that is by, yes, I definitely choose some people who just have an epic story that I know absolutely 1,000,000% needs to be shared. But I have to tell you something. There are millions of people who have epic stories that need to be shared. And if you want your podcast to survive or make you money, or if you want your event to survive, literally, or be able to break even or make you any money, you're going to have to think strategic. You become a business. Like, we don't get into this just to be like, this is what I want to do and burn myself out and run myself ragged so that I make no money and that I'm struggling and I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. You have to start thinking of these things as a business. So you have to choose people, whether it's on your podcast or on your stage, as, is this an equal energy exchange? Meaning, if I now just ask Lindsay to speak at the event because she has become undeniable to me, she now has a community of women who I definitely want to reach for the Bliss Project and for future projects we are working on. So she started to become undeniable, not because she even pitched herself to me at all, but because I couldn't not see all the things that she was doing.
I mean, I did, you know, infuse subliminal messages into your everyday. I did that creepy stuff, but never pitched myself.
She was like, have you heard this song yet? I'm like, what are they? Are they saying something in the background, Lindsay? It sounds kind of gargled. No, I do remixes now. It's an inspirational underlying message about me.
Affirmations about me.
We should do that. I'll be like, hey, did you get that remix I sent you? Yeah.
I think it'll really feel your workouts.
Yeah.
You're going to love it. So yeah.
So you guys, that is a couple of the ways to become undeniable. Just ask yourself, why do you want the thing that you want? And then create it without somebody choosing you. Create it on your own and get yourself out there in the world so that you start getting noticed and you start being able to, this is what people talk about when they say, add value to those people that you love, add value to your mentors. And I can definitely say, Lindsay, like, you showed up and volunteered, I don't even know how many years, that's how many years it was, is because you were just always, you just stayed patient and you just did your thing.
Just
and
took you out the trash. Released.
You just take out the trash, girl. Go take out the trash wherever.
But you know what it was too, is I created my own event.
Yep.
I really wasn't, for me, I actually have no, now having an event, I know that there are amazing people that would all make incredible speakers. And some years it's just the content needs to be mm-hmm. a certain way. I need a certain topic. So I never, honestly, never even like had it on any vision board.
Yeah.
Because I just know I'll always be around the Bliss Project
right.
or what you're doing. And I think that's part of it too, is when you can just hold, even if you really have a desire to speak at an event or be on someone's podcast, if you can just totally be okay with adding value to that person by sharing their stuff, inviting your friends, like mm-hmm. the biggest thing you can do to support Lori's event, if you ever want to be a part of her events, buy a ticket
yeah.
and show up. Mm-hmm. This is like unsolicited a plug for the Bliss Project, but it is
true. Same for you.
That's one of the biggest ways that you can show your support is mm-hmm. show up and buy that woman's stuff without ever expecting anything in return. And just know that if you are focused on creating value in the world, that the people who are meant to notice you will.
Yes.
And you'll have the opportunities that you're meant to have. Mm. And they'll probably blow your freaking mind.
For sure. I think that's the best place to end. I couldn't have said it any better. So you guys, I really want to know what your takeaway from this podcast was. So please tag at Lindsay Schwartz and I. She's also at Powerhouse Women. And please tag all three of us, because it's like a personal entity. Like that's a person, right? Powerhouse Women is also a person. I don't know. We're making that up right now.
It totally is.
So tag the three of us and let us know what your biggest takeaway was from this. Like, did you have an actual aha moment during it? Because I'd love to share your story and I'd just love to see who's listening. So also, if you want, let us know if you're coming to Bliss.
Yeah.
Because we really, really, really love posters in the audience, like sparkly ones with our names on it or with a funny saying or a joke.
You guys, someone told me today they were going to make a poster. And so I am going to hold them to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to be disappointed if I don't see some posters.
Yeah.
I really feel like we might get some posters this year from this.
A lot of powerhouse women are coming and they roll deep. Shit. You know.
We're rolling with the posters.
Oh, it's going to be the best time. And seriously, I cannot wait to see so many of you there. Let us know if you're coming.
Okay, you guys, have the best day.
Bye.
Thank you guys so much for spending this time with me on the Earn Your Happy podcast. I am so glad that you stopped by. If you could take 1 second to share this episode with someone you think would love it, that would be absolutely amazing and we would be forever grateful. Also, please leave us a review if you feel so moved by going to iTunes and leaving us an honest thought, an honest comment. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you want to hear more of. It would really help us out on our journey to helping thousands and thousands of people. Until then, don't forget to earn your happy. Thanks again, guys. Bye-bye.